You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Good afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Michelle coming to you from Redbox Media, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. Today we're going to talk about, I feel like I'm in a children's show. Today, loved ones, we're going to talk about, but we are going to talk about the difference between being cared for and taking care of. Big difference. So put that in your mind, cared for versus taken care of. This is very important in your relationships. It seems like such a little distinction. It seems like something that we would normally just take for granted. Well, of course I know the difference. Well, I want you to start thinking about your relationships, you in your relationships and you receiving relationships. I want you to start thinking about that really carefully, taking it into your heart. Open your heart up to the concept. Over time, or perhaps we come into relationships or even become parents this way, we tend to, many of us anyway, tend to think of caretaking as an act of love. And what happens when you experience this caretaking? And it feels like love. It is love to you. And yet there's something that's always agitating to you, or perhaps agitating to someone else. So we're going to be talking about the difference, because I want to bring it up not only with your children, but in your love relationships. Talking about love relationships. Oftentimes we look at people and we think and we see them caretaking other people, and we mistake it for being good, wonderful people. We mistake them for being loving people, when perhaps they might just be good caretaking people. Caretakers can also be predators as well. And so I'm going to give you some examples of two situations that I know of in action right this minute. And then I will give you another situation, all very different. Another situation that occurred many years ago that shows the same thing, the caretaker as predator. We start all this with an open heart, knowing and remembering St. Paul. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. We have to be open to this fact. I think my mic has a problem, so we're going to settle this right now. Thank you, Jennifer, for letting me know. So I will ask Jennifer if that's better, if the mic is better. Anyway, oh, she says it is. Yes, thank you. I like to bring you all in on my conversations with my producer, Jennifer, because she just is like, she's like the, she's like everything. She's the ears, the eyes, the timekeeper, the researcher. She's just about everything. And occasionally more than occasionally, we have lots of talks about the latest caffeinated drink and the best protein bars. So you get it all right there. Who needs anybody else? We should just be the Jennifer program. All right. So when we talk about this caretaking situation, oh, she's blushing. Okay. When we talk about this caretaking situation and we look at people, I think about so many things. I want to open up with some spiritual thought first to set our open hearts and set our stage, because we're going to come from that viewpoint. This is not meant to be a viewpoint of fear, but a viewpoint of education, a viewpoint of opening up some truth in you. What you will find is the truth not only sets you free, but the truth will always be digging at you to come out. It'll always be a little source of churning, agitation. If you stuff it down, it can be depression, panic, anxiety. I know people who have what's called pseudo seizures because of they push down the truth of an assault by someone, or they push down the truth about abuse in the home. They push down the truth about what's really happening in their family so they can put on a good face to their co-church members or at work or to some other, for some other reason. So we have all these things that we have warning signals in the natural world and in the supernatural world, and they all harmonize. I heard someone the other day, a scientist, or actually it was a PhD, forensic psychologist, talking about a neuroscientist, I guess, or a neuro researcher that said, when the hairs on your neck stand up, whether you know they do or not, you just get that feeling, that creepy feeling, or that kind of spine tingling, that tingle in your spine. When you get that feeling, pay attention. No matter what it looks like on the outside, they could look, give the illusion of being Mother Teresa, either male or female versions of Mother Teresa. If you have that feeling, pay attention. Now, I know from my own personal experience and dealing with people that have been in lots of trouble because of these kinds of things, this is not going to be foolproof. A good illusionist is a good illusionist. Someone who makes it want to look like the airplane isn't really there is going to find a way to do it. We know this because we see them on TV. So a good illusionist is a good illusionist. A person who is an expert at deception, who plays that violin of deception until they are a unmatched virtuoso. If you happen to cross their path, you have warning signals, but it's not always easy to believe what we feel, but you may not even have the warning signals. We are little lambs. We are little sheep. Those who aren't wired to view deception in the form of a loving, caretaking person. We do believe the best. And many of us who subscribe to treat do unto others, we're the biggest targets. Do unto others as they would have to do to you, or understand your brother. Even in recovery systems and in our own gospels or our own sermons, let's put it that way, not necessarily the gospel, we tend to slice off little parts of the message, and the part that sometimes gets a bit overblown and imbalanced is the part that we turn the other cheek, we look the other way, we don't think ill, we take all responsibility on ourselves, that we stop blaming others, but we confuse garden variety blaming and just complaining. It's, you know, it's your fault that I don't have a good garbage can, or, you know, it's because of this situation. You can blame and blame and blame. That's very different than actually becoming aware and stating truth about a dangerous situation. But we never want to think ill. We also have, I've mentioned to you before about the experience I had with someone who took forever. I mean, days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to even alert other parents that there was someone in the church who was being investigated for child molestation. Well, doesn't mean that you condemn the person. However, if you've got a little child who's alone with that person and you're a parent, you need to know. And they didn't want to say anything because they were trying to do the Christian thing and not judge and not say ill. But you're not saying random ill about somebody when you name a truth. And the truth doesn't have to be a witch hunt or a huge reaction, but information is important. Person could be as innocent as everything. But do you want to risk your six-year-old at that moment? And it's sad and it's unfortunate, especially if the person's innocent. It's very sad. And you can believe in the person, but you also want to protect your child. So you're in a challenge there, a big challenge. And there may be gentle and loving ways around that challenge, but it is not to sublimate the truth that this is at least going on. So we can set ourselves up in these little traps, but then we go into our own personal relationships where it's actually 1,000 times easier to ignore the things right in front of you. You want so badly to believe what you've always believed, that the person who has become harmful is still the loving, wonderful person you always thought they were. So we're going to talk about then, how does that go to the caretaking in your part versus caring for also in the, your loved ones and people around you. So fasten your seatbelts. We're going to go in and take a look at something that might be a little bit difficult to hear, but it's really worth pondering in your own life. I am Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Breadbox Media, we're walking this road together. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking this road, Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email DM live at breadboxmedia.com. So what is the difference between caretaking and caring for? Well, let's start with a little spiritual opening first. And this relates to, it's actually from, during different church holidays, Lent, and I've read to you from Creighton University's reflections on particular feast days and holidays, but they have daily reflections. And today's daily reflection, August 23rd, 2016, actually brings some things home a little bit. They're taking some messages from 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, I was going to call it Thessalonians. Anyway, Thessalonians, Psalm 96, and Matthew. So I'm going to read you just a little bit, but it's really just open up to this. In these times of uncertainty and even fear, I draw comfort today from the words in Hebrews in the Catholic lectionary for today, August 23rd. This is by Barbara Dilley. Quote, "The word of God is living and effective, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Unquote. These words read less comforting and more challenging in the New International Translation of the Bible. In that version, it says, quote, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And then she goes on to say, as is usually the case with all lessons, I think this message is intended to be both comforting and challenging. A look at the rest of the lesson for today helps me better reflect on how to hear these words in my own life. How is the Word of God active and effective in my life? How is it alive and active? So she goes on for a little bit, and then she says, of course, that depends on the issues, and it varies from day to day. But I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit for time. So she says, but if it can help me define a focus for my daily reflections on the thoughts of my own heart and help me to recognize how important it is to maintain a relationship with God that is living and effective, the lessons tell me when the Word of God is active in my life, I am not so easily deceived. When I hold fast to the faith traditions I've been taught, I'm less fearful. When we hold fast to the gospel, its messages will encourage our hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. One of the ways we can do this is by daily prayer and reflection, such as the sort we do with this online ministry program. And then she goes on a little bit. She says, another way the Word of God is alive and active is when we rejoice and are joyful in our confidence that He is King and has made the word world firm, not to be moved. The Lord is in charge, no matter who else claims to be. And that can be your mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife. And the Lord rules the earth and His people with justice and constancy, no matter how unstable others are in your life. We don't need to be afraid of them. God is in charge. The Word of God is living and active in our lives when we draw on it to discern reflection and thoughts of our own hearts first, before we consider the thoughts of the hearts of others. It is not just where we are coming from that we need to ponder, but where we are coming from when we consider others' words and deeds. All of these words are comforting, but there's also a challenge. In the gospel, Jesus challenges us to not neglect the weightier things of the law, judgment, mercy, fidelity. There are hypocrites who will deceive you with trivial matters. They neglect what is really important while they draw our attention to insignificant details, all for their self-indulgence. But the Word of God is living and active and effective, and it does help us discern what really needs to be done. So today, pray with rejoicing that the Lord comes to rule the world with justice. Pray to stand firm in good hope, and through the Lord's grace, discern the self-indulgent deceptions of hypocrites. That's pretty awesome. I'm going to repeat that. I was going to try not to interrupt myself. Pray to stand firm in good hope, and through the Lord's grace, discern the self-indulgent deceptions of hypocrites. But we need to discern the same in our own hearts. Let us pray that our hearts be filled with courage and strengthened to good deeds and words so that we can be witnesses to the Word of God, living, effective, and active in our hearts. Now, that I paraphrased from Barbara Dilley. Daily Reflection, Creighton University Online Ministries, August 23rd, 2016. So look it up. If we don't get the link up, we'll try to get that up for you. The message here that relates to what we're talking about is this concept of the other self-indulgent hypocrite being deceptive. Now, those sound like really tough words. They sound like words that are mean-spirited and judgmental, but this is what it's all about. This is what the Living Word doesn't just want you to be a glosser. They don't want you to be a victim. They don't want you to be a sheep of any other ruler. If that ruler is a caretaker, if that ruler is a spouse, if that ruler is a child. There is another reading today, too, about who you make an idol. And that's a pretty important thing. Who do you make an idol? You want to be loving and accepting, but you do not want to bring your child or the love of someone else to be so such idolatry that we lose our natural sense of judgment, our natural sense of discerning, and our natural God-given gift of knowing right from wrong. And so when we get deluded and beaten down from it and blinded now to the point, and I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to preface it by saying I don't really know what I'm talking about because I heard this like fourth hand, but I heard, and you all might know, and you can let me know the details. The details aren't so important as the concept. Yesterday, I haven't been watching the Olympics that much, but I heard that there was a man who entered the female, I think it was Olympics, some female competition as a woman. And this person, and my question, not putting any judgment on gender, transgender, this, that, or the other thing, that's a whole other can of worms. But my question was, had he had hormone therapy? Was his form like a woman's form? And the reason I asked that question was this. It was like akin to that old fairy tale, The Emperor's New Clothes. If a man who says, I'm a woman inside, but is highly toned body and highly efficient body machine has no female characteristics to it whatsoever, because just physically alone with no judgment, no thought, no morality, no anything, has a different center of gravity, has a different way of being. That's why women excel in certain areas and physically and don't excel in others. And same with men. Different centers of gravity. You learn that in biological physics. You learn that in medicine. You learn that in ballet. You learn that in good cycling. Women have, by virtue of the nature of their skeletons, their muscles, their hips, and their hormones, and their breast, and their other ways that they are, their whole way that they navigate on this earth is very different than the more angular, differently set male. Just like a cow is going to settle upon the earth and be able to walk in different places, much different than a leopard. It's just different centers of gravity, different ways the muscles are. It's just the way it is. And again, look at any sports-minded physiologist or anatomist or scientist. They're going to have no problem saying, without putting any politically correct or incorrect system on it, there are certain bodies that are better suited toward being bodybuilders, certain bodies that are better for being a swimmer, certain for sprinters. It's just the way we're all put together. So we come back, we'll tie that together in how we can utilize this information to help us with our discernment in our daily life.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Thank you. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4, text or call, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. So we're talking about taking care of versus taking or caring for. Now, I'm going to get down, and the reason I'm going from like this big broad thought down to even relationships and families and discerning and predators and this and that, and distilling it down. And then I'm going to start at the little distilled sanitized version. That's why I kind of went to this whole concept of the Olympics only in the physiological aspect. And the reason I went there is because we are at a place now where even though people are going, huh, it's so accepted. And it's not accepted. What's accepted is that we are tongue tied. We are brain tied. We are discernment tied. Nothing means anything anymore. And we're not talking about gender issues now and what you feel inside. We're talking about if I went to a cello concert and I brought a tuba and I said, but I feel this is a cello. I need to play in a Mozart violin concerto. They're going to go, get the tuba out of here because it goes to the tuba place. That's where it's supposed to compete and play. So if you're talking about actual rules, not a kind of a vague situation that might have to do more with qualitative issues, but the more physical black and white, you are going to compete. You're going to train to be a gymnast. When you train to be that gymnast, you're going to do certain things on certain instruments. You can't go in and make lemon bars and say, but I feel that this is my being a gymnast and I'm competing. So the judges just love my gymnast qualities while they're eating their lemon bars. I mean, you can't compete. You just can't do that. But we have gotten to the point where we just go, huh? And we're in a daze and we can't really figure out, well, yeah, we know that something's wrong there. But people are afraid on the one side to say anything about it, and people are afraid on the others. Now, I may be giving you just a partial story, as I said early on. But even if this is a completely fabricated story, it illustrates a point that will not be too far-fetched. Just like it's not too far-fetched when we started growing ears on the backs of mice, that now somehow we're trying to look at seeing about having to do this transhuman type of genetics. I mean, there's all these things going on that are going faster than we can. There's a country song that says faster than my angels can fly. It's kind of faster than our angels can fly, faster than our minds can get around and our ethics systems and all that. We just are like, well, how do we deal with any of this? It's happening very quickly. So in our own personal lives, now taking it back, we look at this and we say, if we're at a place where we know something's not right with this, but yet it's crossing too many blurry boundaries and lines, and we don't want to hurt people and we don't know what to say, we're dulling our own sense. It's the emperor's new clothes. We're not saying, yeah, but in this instance, there's no clothes on here. In this instance, this is a person with a man's body, without hormone replacements, without any changes at all, trained like a man's body, with the angles of a man's body, and a center of gravity the same as a man's body, competing with women, and not really competing, but it's a different situation. That's why you have the women's and the men's, competing with women who have, by definition of physics, a ball has a different place than a sledgehammer, than a triangle, a pyramid's different than a sphere. I mean, these things just stay on the earth. One's not better than the other. It's just you need your pyramids and you need your spheres. And you need your levers. You need all kinds of things. But they're not interchangeable because you can't lever a sphere with another sphere. You're just going to have these things. You just can't put them in the same categories. But we become dulled and we dull down our alert mechanism, that, oh, what's wrong with this picture situation. So now let's switch out of that. I'm kind of giving you more of a ethereal guide here. Two, let's go down to something very black and white from a nursing journal, the AORN, an article that is entitled "Taking Care of Patients and Caring for Patients Are Not the Same." So it says, the abstract, which is just the little synopsis of it, I'm not going to read to you the whole article. It says, in big letters, there is a significant difference between taking care of patients and caring for patients. Taking care of patients, in all caps, emphasizes objective, professional care, such as the medical and psychological aspects of nursing. And then in big letters, caring for patients, on the other hand, is a humanistic way of interacting with patients, and this is key, that demonstrates sincere care and concern for the patients simply because they are human beings. Now, I want to read that again, and I want to insert something besides patients. This synopsizes what I want you and me to bring into our lives and to understand about others when we're giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, including ourselves. When perhaps we are idealizing even our own children, or we are lacking in love ourselves and doing the caretaking thing, attending to needs, physical, medical, psychological needs. But now we're going to reverse it a little bit and talk about those people out there in our relationships who are in the roles of a caring for being. They tried out for the role of caring for you. And they won the role. They're your husband. They're your wife. They're your child. Or they came into the role. They were appointed in your role. You're working with them now. They are part of you on this little actor's platform. Your parents, who you had didn't have a choice in. Your coworkers. They are playing the role of a caring for person. But they might be taking care of, and as we read in our daily reflection, it's possible that they could just be knowing only how to take care of, but they also might be taking care of their own self-indulgent agendas. This is where we become wise as serpents, gentle as doves. So let's read this again out of this Journal of Nursing, talking to about nursing care, but we're going to change it. And so going to be about you and me and our loves and our boyfriends and our girlfriends and our husbands and our wives and our kids and our parents and our coworkers and our friends. There's a significant difference between, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to make this up now, but I'm going to read it and just insert different words. There is a significant difference between taking care of others and caring for others. Taking care of others emphasizes objective, clinical, sanitized care, such as, and I'll add for the medical, basic needs, psychological, emotional, sexual aspects of relationships. Caring for others, on the other hand, is a humanistic, and I'll put in their spiritual and godly way, of interacting with others that demonstrates sincere care and concern for others simply because they are human beings. Now, do a quick inventory of the people in your life, the people that you have a little bit of agitation every time you're around them and you have absolutely no idea why. People who you feel or you have hurt you or abused you, perhaps they are caretakers. I'm going to tell you a story of a caretaker now in just a minute, who maybe are caretakers of your loved ones, your aging parents, your family member with neurodevelopmental disabilities, or perhaps a spouse or a child. And I want you to hear this again. I want you to think about that there is a significant difference. I want you to check your gut with this. Take your inventory. And when we go to the break, I want you to just reflect on it for a moment. Who in your life is taking care of, emphasizes the things they do for you? They, on the outside, everyone envies you because you are so, quote, taken care of, or your parent is, or your loved one is so clean and so taken care of and so provided for and so funny and happy and seems to, but yet they know your psychological need or your caretaker's psychological need for connection, friendship, love, sex, whatever it is. And they know that about you or your loved one. And that seems to be the focus of their interaction with you or your loved one. Think about that. See you on the side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Dr. Michelle, and you are listening to Dr. Michelle Live, walking with me today, 573-4-BREAD-4, email DM live at breadboxmedia.com. This caring for versus taking care of is extremely important concept that I think is at the root these days of almost all of our relationships. When we ceased simply caring because we are human and caring what happens to us because we're a human being and are worthy of being treated well, worthy of being treated like a human being, worthy about being seen and heard and loved and cared for and nurtured. Are you all those things by those people in your life? Are you loved, truly loved, not provided for, not taken care of, not given good dresses or jewelry or nice little hairdos or good lunches at school, but are you loved? Are you loved? Do you think you deserve to be loved? What does that even mean? Discernment. This is what it's all about. And with discernment, you have to accept the truth that was reflected today in Creighton's daily reflection, Creighton University's daily reflection, that God gives us challenges along with comfort. He's not just a big old pillow God. There's challenges there. Open your eyes. Turning, you know, Sodom, or when Lot's wife turned around, she said, "Don't look back, lady." She did, and she turned to salt. So we're, those lessons are all throughout all history, ancient history, long before Christ. There are certain things that are part of this predatorial world. And if we are taught to see the signs before us, see, feel, touch, track, believe, you're going out into the wilderness and you are trying to find your way out of the wilderness, and you know how to track, you know how to see a broken twig and know what it means. not feel bad for it or think, oh, but I might be wrong and I might hurt somebody or this might not be it. All we are is second guessers. We second guess everything and then shut our mouths. So we can't discern what's in front of us, and then we erode from the inside out. It is a new phenomena of our several generations now. It's new. We used to be in the old days worried about other things because of the way the cultures developed and were. Now it's different. It's all this smoke and mirrors game. So we are prime pickings. We're filled with fear. The fear is instigated for gain, usually by in the outside layer. It's usually just for first for your money, whether it's, you know, and stuff, you know, we're consumers, and with consumers, we got some big problems. We got to believe a lot of lies out there and swallow a lot of fear in order to keep buying all this stuff, or we wouldn't do it. If we had advertising that kept pushing that you only need one pair of shoes until there's so many holes in that pair of shoes and that person down the street who makes their living repairing them can't repair them any longer. You need a new pair, maybe two a year, or two a lifetime, or when you grow, as you grow. You know, what? They're not going to do that. You need one, a new one every 6 months and with every new outfit. So it's very significant to discern between, are you a being taken care of, or are you a someone who's being cared for by the one you want to care for you, who thinks about you and feels about you and has demonstrated, not spoken, sincere care. I think of all the people in the world, all the people I've come in contact with, who hear the words in one way or another, similar, same song, different verse, different languages. But honey, I'm home with you every single day. But honey, look at the house I'm providing. But honey, look at, I'm putting the clothes on your back. I'm the one that's giving you that new pedicure. And yet they're eroding inside because something else is occurring. It's payoff or it's mistaken for love. They don't know, the core isn't there. I told you I'd tell you some stories, and I hope I can before we end today. But they're going to be kind of like human interest stories, but also to kind of awaken you. So the one story happened many, many decades ago, and I got to know a woman who was very successful in her business, very successful. And she had had from early age some infection, and she had become legally blind. But she was brilliant and became an executive and was just wonderful. I think she was married once. I don't know whether her husband died or whether it was there was a divorce, and she had one child. And so she had eked out this life, and she had a faithful office manager and who had a husband who was also an investor, etc. And this office manager had been with this executive for probably 3 decades. And as this person, as this woman got older in life, she was never had a problem. Go anywhere she wanted in the world. Always had the clothing she wants. She lived in a beautiful place. She lived in a place that was very sought after. She lived in had a beautiful giant house, just amazing. And her only child could do whatever they wanted and was able to get educations and would, I think at one point was back living with her and was there in the home. So one day, for some reason, this woman calls a meeting with her office manager and wants a certain amount of money, wants a certain something, probably having to do with the adult child. And come to find out that there is no money. The shock of that led to more discoveries and led to discovery that the husband had been the office person who had also been an investment consultant was investing the money all these years, decades, giving false reports of what was really happening, and had amassed a lot for themselves in ways that they could not actually be held accountable for. And within about 3 weeks after this information, the woman has a stroke, and then the woman shortly later dies. Now, there's a point of someone who is completely taken care of. And the office manager would accompany this woman to physical exams, to taking her on vacations, doing all these things. She was her caretaker and her office manager for this corporation. And she was literally blind and being robbed blind. And the shock killed her, basically. So, but before the shock killed her, she had a disease that kind of was an ongoing autoimmune disease. And somewhere at some level, she knew something was wrong. She had no ability wasn't able. It was just gone on too long. She didn't know. Another example that I know two of right now. One's a veteran and one's a woman with an autoimmune disease. Both of them in their 60s, both of them needing full-time care. Both of them very able, educated people. The veteran was a medic. Both of them are being completely controlled. It's just coming to light. And financially robbed by their loving caretakers who always have them, their meals, and they're clean, and they're together, and they're at their doctor's appointments, and their houses are neat, and they're friendly and happy and wonderful, and the relationship on both sides think they're wonderful. And now coming to find out, one of them just had a stroke, and coming to my family just found out there's no money. It's been being robbed for years. So these are the things where these people come in sheep's clothing. They've had intimate relationships with the entire family on the premises. I mean, people know these people. They say hi to them. They sit down to meals with them. They come in unannounced for years. Now, this is not meant to scare you. We're coming to the end of our program. But it's meant that I want you to take an inventory today, and we'll revisit this tomorrow, of your own life with just those few words in your mind. Am I sensing, is this person taking care of with no cream-filled center, with no love center, with no sincerity center, with no authenticity? And I'm just believing the picture because I don't know any other way. And don't beat yourself up for it. It happens all the time. These people are good. Or in your love relationship, same thing. Or am I seeing either with my lover or the ones who are caring for my loved ones this sincere demonstration of concern and love because I or my loved one is a human being worthy of sincere care and love? You think about that. Email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, and we'll take this up again tomorrow. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.